I think I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
This is a sign of a crisis, a greatest, I believe, humanitarian crisis the city has ever witnessed. I'm on the ground. I'm not detached from this. I walk through surprise visits to see the quality of service.
How often?
Very often. I can give you once a week.
What specifically can you do to address that issue of migrants not being able to work?
We're going
to
do the duality of calling for rightfully the resources for the city. Even something as simple as calling a state of emergency. If the president does that, it allows us to get resources.
We would get resources. And when New York City Mayor Adams says we would get resources, he's talking about federal government dollars. That was New York City Mayor Adams talking about the crisis they're facing in New York City. We've got so damn many illegals. Immigrants up here. They're illegal. I would allow you to use the term immigrant if they got here legally. They are an immigrant from another country, maybe under order of asylum or using asylum to get in, or maybe for whatever reason, but they came in legally. And the northern blue states had no issue, no concern, no difficulty with the hordes that were flooding into South Texas, Arizona, Florida, elsewhere. No issue whatsoever. It's your problem. Let them take care of it. We had stated then this would become a national issue because every town, every city, all the way from Mexico's border, not our border anymore, Mexico's border, to Canada's border, no, not our border out there either, all those cities will now become sanctuary holds for illegals, even if they don't intend to, and they will all end up being ports of entry, or they will end up being flooded with illegals. Now, they do not have anywhere near. If you were to draw an estimate, if the numbers are off, so be it. But let's say a minimum of 2.5 million illegals have come in during the Biden administration. I think the current population of New York City now is close to 12 million. Not even 10% increase, but it's a frightening crisis. Because when I say the 2 million total, they're not all in New York City. And in fact, many of them, as it came across, there's a congressman running in an office, a congressional district down in Texas, San Antonio area. And he said, I've talked to a lot of the illegals down here and said, where are you going to go now? You're going to go north? No, we're going to stay here in San Antonio. We're going to stay here. So they're just going to stay as opposed to traveling somewhere else unless they have a reason to go forward. But here you've got New York City Mayor Adams saying, if we get federal dollars, we can take care of it. Well, I got a word for you. It ain't going to happen, and federal dollars are being used against you. I'll break it down for you. First, welcome to the program. Second hour of Larry Connors USA. Here we are, August 23rd, 2023, and if you missed the first hour, I'll always remind you, you can pull up previous programs, either the audio or podcast, at LarryConnorsUSA.com. And the video of each show, as we're on the air, is streaming at Newstalk STL, Facebook, and Twitter, LarryConnorsUSA, Facebook, and Twitter, and on Rumble. And again, if you miss any of it, you're listening to it now and say, you know, I'd really like to watch it or catch what I missed earlier, go to LarryConnorsUSA.com. Walk into a poker game the other day. Yeah, for those of you thought I was pristine and pure as snow, I'm a poker player and a Jack drinker and a Harley rider and a gun-toting Second Amendment believer and Bible-thumping lover. But I play poker. And they, a couple of them started saying, Larry Connors, USA, LC USA. I said, thank you, thank you. I'm going to get a copy of that, and we're going to use it in our future promo before it's over. But here you have the New York City mayor, and keep in mind when he was complaining about Governor Abbott busing illegals into his city, how inhumane it was to put them on a bus. Well, maybe they wanted to go to New York City, and according to Abbott and the people in Texas, they said they all signed a waiver and said, yeah, I want to go to New York City. No one forced them at gunpoint to get on the damn bus. And it's possible some at various fuel stops along the way got off and said, I'll just stay here. Nobody could make them get back on the bus. So now they're in New York City and they need housing. The Roosevelt Hotel in Midtown New York area. Pictures from there. It was never recently a great hotel. If you're looking for a cheap room in New York City that would work and it might be acceptable to you. And at one time, being named after Roosevelt, it was a grand dame of New York City hotels. Now it is flooded with illegals. And all the rooms are occupied. And every night they make everybody leave, and then they have to line up to come back in if they want to spend another night. At least that's the last report coming out of there. But if he thinks the Biden administration is going to send in federal dollars, they may slip it into one of these bills for Ukraine, like we were talking about earlier, along with money for Maui. But let me give you this. This is hard evidence of what they're doing. There is a report that the Biden administration has opened the gates near Lukeville, Arizona. That is an area where, with the gates open, and there are gates built into the wall when it was originally built, to allow egress and access from time to time. And this is the Tucson area where this gate is. Border Patrol admits they were ordered to weld the gates open. They're welding them open so they cannot be closed again. So it's going to automatically allow more illegals to get across. I'm telling you, their network of communicating as to what's open, where best to get in, it's going to jump immediately. In the Tucson sector, in July, that area led the nation with migrant apprehensions, illegal apprehensions, nearly 40,000. That was an increase of nearly 130%+ over a year ago. 40,000, but that's second in place with the other apprehensions, arrest of nearly 274,000 at other locations. One Ecuadorian illegal told the New York Post as he was going through, we thought the agents were going to say something to us, but the gates are open, we're allowed to walk in. A Cuban migrant added, illegal again. And again, there are a lot of people out there that I would not mind having in this country, but do it legally. And there are people on a waiting list to come to the country legally. And they're being bumped aside by these folks. A Cuban migrant, again, as it's described, a migrant, it's still illegal. It's so easy to get to the U.S., nothing like our trip to Mexico. That part was difficulty. Now, again, these gates, they were in there, one for egress and access through the gates itself, but primarily they were to be used during monsoon season floodwaters, and of course then allow migratory animals to pass through. But now they're open and welded open. So if you think you're going to get something out of the government, Mayor Adams, it ain't going to happen. He's got a lot of detractors in his city and his state, and rightly so. One of them, New York Congresswoman Malatakis, and her reaction to the mayor.
The mayor, from the very beginning, has misinterpreted New York City's right to shelter law, which was intended for homeless citizens. It was never intended for citizens of other countries who just crossed our border. And so by his interpretation, you know, there's been 7.5 million people. They all came to New York City, where we have a population of 8.5 million. New York City taxpayers would be responsible for paying for their housing, legal services, metro cards and food, et cetera. All these things that citizens themselves don't get. So it's really ludicrous. And so two things. One, he should be demanding the president to secure the border. Let's stop this. Undo his executive orders today.
Well, that's not going to happen. And you caught, I'm sure, in the wording of what she had to say, they're taking resources intended for American citizens. If you continue to burden your healthcare area where you have your public health clinics available for those who need help, if they're suddenly inundated with dozens upon dozens of illegals, American citizens cannot use that, and yet they're paying for it. Hospitals over jammed, school system going to be more jammed because they got to be filtered in somewhere. And if the number is 2 million, and I'm telling you that is way, way underestimated over the last 2 years, judging by the numbers I've seen. And that does not count the so-called getaways. It's going to accelerate. So as we said, what the mayor of New York City decided to do, well, I will get them out of my place. I'll send them north on a bus. But then when they complained up at the north, well, then he decided, let's look around the city. Do you remember that he and even Governor Hochul were saying, you know, if you have a home and you got extra room, you should open it up to the illegals. I don't know if anybody has done it. There may be some. I know the mayor has not opened up the governor, rather the mayor's mansion, nor has the governor opened up the governor's mansion, and they've got plenty of room. But what they are doing, according to the Congresswoman Nicole Malliotakis, they are dumping them in other areas.
It's come to a point where he's looking at every single park, open space, empty building. Buildings that are supposed to be right now transitioned into schools in my district are now being turned into shelters instead. And I'm in a community of Staten Island where we did not support this mayor's agenda. We did not support the governor or the president's agenda. And yet we're being subjected to their policies because we are part of New York City. And that is increasingly frustrating for this community.
It is, because suddenly they wake up the next day and there are a bunch of 10 homes and so forth set up outside. I drove past the St. Louis City Hall the other day, first time in a long time, and on the corner, on the northeast corner of the lawn, there must be 8 to 12 tents erected. And across the street is the park across from the Veterans Center, the display. And I remember, I want to say 15 plus years ago, they tried to put tents in there, and they came in the middle of the night, ripped them all up, and made them move. They're not doing it now. They're just letting it go. You think it's going to get better with them doing it that way? Of course it's not. Now, of course, immigration and how we're handling it and our open border, that's got to be a topic tonight for these candidates that they had their first GOP debate. Trump will not be there, but you'll get to hear the views of the others. And I remind you again that News Talk STL will be carrying the debate and will be adding commentary and analysis after it's over. One of the other issues they should be facing is our economy. How is the Biden Inflation Reduction Act working for you?
This gets worse before it gets better. And what's it doing to small business? Killing them right now.
Kevin, who's lending to small business right now? Are these small banks lending? Are these regional banks lending? Or are these big banks lending?
Nobody's lending, Larry. If you're doing less than $500 million in sales, it's very difficult to go to the banking market. You're going to the shadow market now, primarily for things like factoring receivables. If you're a company that's selling to a big box retailer, you can get factored at about 17 to 18%. That means you can turn your receivable into cash and buy more inventory. Your car loan is now double digit if you're trying to get it from the shadow market. There's lots of lenders out there. It's just they're not called regional banks anymore. It's everything from hedge funds to family offices to private entities that are doing this. But this is causing some real chaos in a very short term.
Very short term, we hope, only a short term. That was a discussion going on between Larry Kudlow, economic expert for Fox Channel, and then also Kevin O'Leary. You often see him on the Shark Tank, and has his own investment firm. In other words, it's just not working. Once again, back to their discussion.
I know the 10-year bond rate is way up, but it's the mortgage rate that could be a killer. I mean, these regional banks that got downgraded today, they own a lot of mortgage backs, don't they? And in general, it's going to damage housing. And I just wonder whether this doesn't spill over into commercial properties. What do you make of this, Kevin O'Leary? It just doesn't sound good, doesn't read good.
Larry, this was inevitable. We talked about it 6 weeks ago, and now you're just starting to see this chip start to fall. The layering is as follows. The regionals are not yet known. They don't know yet what their capital requirements are going to be. So their loan books have closed like a turtle in a shell. But at the same time, 40% of their balance sheets, majority of them, are in commercial real estate, as you suggested. Those turn in 24 to 36 months. They were financed at 5 to 6%. They will now be 8, 9, 10, 11%.
Yeah, so you can see where it was and where it's going to 8, 9, 10%. Car loans are escalating. That's if you can get them. And then the used car price is still going up. That's good for car dealers. It's not good for you if you're trying to buy a car, but if you have a used car, you're going to get a top dollar for it, judging by everything we're seeing at this time. And we have small business at risk, and again, Larry is saying this chaos you just can't ignore.
This is causing some real chaos in a very short term. And so what I anticipate is going to happen here, while we still have full employment, which is remarkable, and you don't put any capital into the small business sector, which is 60% of the jobs in America, you're going to start to see some real chaos come September, October, November. This is an issue for Congress, Larry. It's very simple. They gave all their money to the S&P 500 in two acts. One, the CHIPS and Science Act, and the other, the Inflation Reduction Act. Not a dime for small business. $1 trillion for the big boys, nothing for the small guys. And the small guys, they run America.
They do run America, the mom and pop stores. And some a little bit bigger, but they're not the multi-billion dollars, but they're the backbone of this nation. We're going to help everybody else, but we're not going to help them. That should be an issue tonight on the debate stage. And we're going to spend more time on the issue with the economy after my guest coming up, because I raise again the question for you. You have a house. Maybe you're being transferred. You're going to have to buy a house somewhere else. What kind of rate are you going to be able to get? And if you've got a house at a really good rate, you may have to weigh a decision. Is, am I going to make enough money with this new job? Do I really want it that much? Because what I'll pay for, I don't know. Or we have to really downsize. There are a lot of complications around this. I've got a mortgage expert coming up saying what your options are, and they may work for you, they may not, but I think it's better you have the information. So we got that and even more. Glad to have you with us. Reminding you, as always, lock and load, ready on the right. I want to share something special with you. I've told you how Wellington Environmental works to keep hospitals, schools, businesses safe for their patients, students, clients, employees. Wellington can do the same for you. Perfect example. A relative went to the basement, almost knocked over by the smell. A sewer line had broken. A call to Wellington, a crew was dispatched. First thing, make the home safe. Then clean up the mess. Truly clean it up. Now, I'm telling you this because I want the best for you. Wellington Environmental. Here's the number, 314-644-4930. 644-4930. 4930. AAA rating with the Better Business Bureau. 644-4930. Wellington Environmental. Your world. Cleaner, better, safer. Be well with Wellington.
I'm ready.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Welcome back. And before I begin this next conversation, I always want full disclosure for you. And if you've listened to the program at all, you know that one of our sponsors is Homestead Financial Mortgage. So I want to be upfront with you. I'm using the sponsor for this because they're expert in what they do. And I don't want anyone to say, oh, you're using this, but you're trying to. No, they're good at what they do and they are a sponsor, but transparency, full transparency here, not like Biden says. Now you know it's a sponsor. But at the same time, I want you to hear the information. Jason Hardy joins us, Homestead Financial CEO and managing partner. Jason, welcome aboard.
Hi, Larry.
Well, before you joined us, we were talking and listening to remarks between Larry Kudlow and Kevin O'Leary about how bad things are and that it's not going to get any better, and that the rates, and we're talking about in general interest rates, and we're waiting to see, of course, if the Fed is actually done for the year or if they're going to hit one more time. Do you guys have a sense of what might happen there?
I gave up my crystal ball a while ago.
Yeah.
However, I think rates are going to come down. It's just when are they going to let off the rate hike?
Yeah,
I think the economy is slowing down. Oh, with our borrowers and our customers, we see people that need help and the cash flow is tightening. That's what we see a lot of. Well, but it is patchy.
Yeah, and to that extent, that was one thing O'Leary said. It's going to create chaos at least in the short term. And I looked at some numbers earlier and. Am I correct that the 30-year mortgage is averaging around 7% and just a year ago is around 5%? Is that the change on the 30-year?
That's exactly correct. That's exactly correct.
So that's 2 points. That's pretty big if based on what you're buying. Is it that harmful or beneficial?
At some point, it's going to break. Jamie Dimon, the CEO of Chase, had said a while ago that if you keep tightening at this pace, this quickly, you're going to break something. So we've seen a little taste of that earlier in the year with two banks going out of business.
Right.
And I think if they keep on that pace, there's going to be something else. It's the unintended consequences that they're going to wind up suffering here.
That is something else Kevin O'Leary is talking about. He's talking about primarily businesses trying to get loans, but it also applies if the bank is putting money into business, they're not going to have it for the individual buyer to make a deal. And when you're dealing with realtors and the buyers, this is especially first-time buyers, it's extremely traumatic to begin with.
It is. They look at something and they're drinking out of a fire hose because there's so much information to be able to absorb when they're trying to buy a home. Then they get a little bit of a sticker shock that the payment's a lot higher than they had thought, and then they still have memories of COVID and COVID interest rates at 2%, at 3%.
I know. That was amazing, was it not? I mean, the actual interest rate was about 1%, not for a mortgage, but interest rate. I mean, things like I remember decades ago in Houston, I had an uncle who was buying CDs, and he did not mean music CDs, certificates of deposit, $10,000, and they were paying something like 19%.
I remember that. I remember that when I was watching you on TV, too.
Yeah. Thanks a lot. I appreciate that. But here's the deal. I mean, it is what it is for right now. And those who have a home, they're looking to sell it, they could probably get a good price because there's a shortage of actual housing. But then again, who can come up with the money and where are they going to get it?
There's a lot of reluctance to sell a home if they're sitting on a mortgage at 2%, 3%.
Well, that's what I read earlier.
So that just adds to the inventory struggle that they have right now. And prices are still increasing simply because of supply and demand. So even though rates are going up, you're still seeing home prices go up, which leads to more anxiety for the first-time homebuyer, to your point.
How do you see that tying, by the way, to car sales are very similar? I mean, if you've got a used car, it's worth more. Maybe you want to keep it as opposed to selling it and buying a higher-end car. You might get fewer miles, but you and how many are deciding, say, when they look at these numbers, maybe we'll just stay where we are and just maybe renovate?
Yeah, that it certainly leads to a lot of people just not wanting to make a decision. So they're sitting there evaluating. Maybe I'll wait to raise. So there's a lot. Again, it's the lack of inventory that's out there. And then the Mortgage Bankers Association told us we're not going to see an increase enough of inventory to lower home prices until the baby boomers die, which is kind of a morbid, but it is true. The statistics bear that out.
Yeah, I mean, unfortunately, I learned that early in life that, you know, all of it's done on your statistical life expectancy, and those analysts have it pegged pretty close.
Yeah,
very true. You're listening to Jason Hardy with Homestead Financial, CEO and managing partner. Then there's the option of folks that, you know, they've got the property, they've got it at a good rate. But they also look at things that they can kind of get rid of that will give them a better lifestyle because maybe they're earning good money. Maybe one of them is retired or thinking about it. They've had the house a long time. They got it at a very good rate and maybe pull some cash out of the house. Is that a good idea?
That is a really good idea. One of the things that we've also seen is that credit card balances are exceeding $1 trillion. In the country, which is a record high. So there are some people who are electing to take some of the credit cards that they've had. Either they've had a layoff or they've been a victim of some of the increasing prices and they've been living beyond their means, but they've been able to at least increase their cash flow by consolidating debt, by using the remaining equity of their house, which is at this point very considerable.
And of course, you also know the issue we had in the 80s when basically the government was telling you've got to give loans to these people. Everybody should be able to have a house. Well, they don't qualify. You got to give it to them, Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, others. You got to give them the house, and they'll make one payment, maybe two, and then they can't do it anymore, and then we got properties abandoned everywhere.
I don't remember those times.
You didn't live through them.
My parents lived through those, and we actually were. We've been in business for 25 years, so we did make a lot of loans in the subprime industry when it seemed like everybody got a loan at the time. And things are a lot tighter now, so it's not like Oprah Winfrey where everybody gets a car.
Right. There was a time, and even then, for a lot of them, they could get a house with nothing down. And then maybe you could do it for 10%, and now it's almost standard 20%. Is that correct?
There's a conventional requires you to put 20% down. You don't have to deal with what's called mortgage insurance. It's an added premium that you pay that affects your effective interest rate and drives it up.
And your monthly payment.
Yes. But you can put down, there's 100% financing programs that are out there that are actually still real beneficial if you want to buy out in rural areas. And there's a great program for the veterans. And that can get people down with zero down. And if they don't have that, we've got some first-time homebuyer grant programs that will allow people to get in really with very little out of pocket, as little as $500 or $1,000. So there's still a lot of good programs available.
When you talk about that kind of down payment, what price home are you talking about?
Whatever the borrower can afford. And it's just based on their income.
Okay, I was going to say reference their income. But who's to say tomorrow the job isn't there?
We'll go back to job history. And if their job history is solid, we can reasonably rely that they'll be employable in the future, too.
When we look at how these mortgage rates have been fluctuating and now up, I'm reading a quote here from, let me get the source here. It's a mortgage expert with CNN, I believe, pointing out that all of this and the rate, the 20% down payment, that's assuming you have an excellent credit score, correct? That's another factor.
Correct.
All right.
Correct.
And what's an excellent credit score now?
Since May 1st of this year, top tier is 780. I don't know if there was a lot of made about the adjustments that were made by Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, which dictate pretty much the terms of the conventional mortgage market. The best credit score used to be 740. Now it's 780. So they pushed that tier up.
Yeah. And so that's going to make it tougher. So she was pointing out that, that happening, relatively sky high mortgage rates, lack of supply of homes, and they're at near record prices, and all that creates a triple whammy. And even if you have a 780, you might be lucky to get a good mortgage payment, much less if you can even buy the home.
Correct. There's a lot of bite the bullet now to be able to secure your home, because people can always refinance later. The term in the industry is marry the home and date the rate.
Oh, that's a good term.
So, yeah, it's a commonly used term when people think about it, because you can kick your mortgage lender to the curb as soon as rate for a better option when rates come down. So, however, you can secure the property. Now, because in times like this where rates are going up, for people that are waiting for rates to come down, then that means everybody will be overbidding on homes again as soon as rates start coming down. So it's best to get the home now when rates are higher, where there's a little bit more inventory, and secure the home, and then elect to refinance at your leisure. But you have control over the situation, then you can get a more favorable rate then.
John, to me, the bottom line is you can sleep better at night, and that's always a big issue.
Yeah, you can sleep better, especially for the people that are having babies, because now that they've got a couple more additions, they don't have enough room in the house, so they can't really sleep at all.
Yeah. Well, I thank you very much for your time and some insight. I think we answered a lot of questions and concerns for everyone, and this is the way it is all across the nation right now.
It was a pleasure, Larry. Thank you very much.
My pleasure. Jason Hardy, Homestead Financial CEO and Managing Partner. Yeah, there was a time even where they could offering barter something for the house. Coming up, how they're running out of the blue cities. Allen Outdoor Solutions knows what you want. An oasis, a place at your home to relax, enjoy, entertain. Allen Outdoor Solutions can design and build your oasis. A spacious stone patio, different levels, maybe a fireplace, flowing water. See their quality work at AllenOutdoorSTL.com. AllenOutdoorSTL.com or call 314-647-4800. AllenOutdoorSTL.com. This is a scary time when it comes to your money, especially if buying a home. That's why you need Homestead Financial Mortgage. I know the owners, met the team. You can trust Homestead will be with you every step of the way. Call 24/7 with any question or concern. Homestead is on your schedule, not banker's hours. This is not just about buying a home. It's about trust. You can go to my website, larry.homesteadfinancial.com. Larry.homesteadfinancial.com. This time of year, heavy rains, high winds, they can hit. And if you have any loose shingles, even the smallest hole in your roof, you're taking a major gamble with your biggest investment. I can tell you from personal experience, do not wait until you have water where it shouldn't be. Don't forget that John Beale has disaster crews, which can at least cover your roof until the damage can be fully repaired. Homeowner, business owner, call John Beale, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
Because you know I'm all about that bass, no trouble. I'm all about that bass, no trouble. I'm all about that bass, no trouble. I'm all about that bass, bass.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Get this. 370 investment companies are leaving New York, managing $2.7 trillion in assets. Where are they going? They're not going to Illinois, Steve. Sorry about that. They're not going to San Francisco, all right? They're going to Florida, and they're going to Texas, and I think I read a couple going to Nashville. But you know what else they're doing? Liz Peek, they're taking their revenues and income out of New York. New York is not only losing population, but they're broke. And this is going to make them more broke.
It's not just taxes, by the way. It's also the cost of living. Not all the CEOs are comfortable paying gazillion dollars for rents and so forth, and their workers certainly aren't. But, you know, it isn't just the cost. It's also the quality of life. And in cities like Nashville, for example, or Palm Beach and so forth, you have a greater sense of security. Life is a lot easier and, by the way, a lot cheaper. So I think the people running these cities have got to start asking themselves, what are we going to do to get people back? The obvious thing is to cut taxes. And I hear this from people all the time who've moved to Palm Beach or to Miami. Why don't they do that? Why don't they try and invite us back? Because guess what? Particularly in the investment management business, people can move, and that's what we're seeing. And by the way, where are their customers? Their customers are in Florida and Texas. So wow. They've really followed the money, and it's a downward spiral.
A downward spiral. You know, as a pilot, you learn very quickly, if you get into a spiral, that means you're going straight to the ground, the wings circling around. You're trying to decide how to get control of it. Am I stepping on the correct rudder? Am I handling it right? What do I do? It's a death spiral if you don't get out. You're going to the ground that way. And they're driving a lot of these blue cities and states into a death spiral. And why? Because these companies, as I mentioned to you yesterday, these big investment firms, you were listening then to Larry Kudlow and his discussion with Liz Peek, who's an economic columnist. They've decided to get the hell out of Dodge, or in this case, New York City, or anywhere else where there's such high taxes, much less the lifestyle, the crime, everything that goes along, because that's the way they love it. Because the blue city state leaders, they're above the fray. They might as well be helicoptering over the city on a constant basis. They're not down in the nitty-gritty with the unwashed, the common, those who are basic American citizens just trying to get by day to day. New York City is another perfect example where you got thousands upon thousands of mom-and-pop businesses struggling constantly. The taxes, constantly. The state, the city. Then you got the insurance to avoid being losing everything in case someone breaks in and steals and takes everything. And then, of course, there is the crime. And on top of that, they catch the guys. They're not going to do anything. You know, Trump is having to post a $200,000 bill, $200,000 for the Georgia case. Now, their argument will be, well, he might run. He's got a jet. Yeah, he can go, but not likely to. And at all. And certainly not from such ridiculous charges. But if you break and enter into a store, or you just simply go in, grab a bunch of things and put them in a bag, and you walk out, and they catch you, if they bother, you're going to be released, no bail, zero bail. That's something else these businesses are having to deal with. I told you yesterday that Carl Icahn, the mega billionaire who came in and destroyed Transworld Airlines and basically the St. Louis is a hub for travel across the nation, gutted it. He didn't care. Didn't care about the people. Didn't care what it did to the city. But he is now smart enough. I hate to use that term. But he's a smart guy. I'll give it back. He's getting the hell out of New York City. Now they're in Florida. From a high-rise, big, great view in New York City to lowly Florida. But the tax base is better. Lifestyle is better. If big firms are doing that, the CEOs are doing that, Don't you imagine there are a lot of their workers that would love the chance to get out of there? Maybe some of them got to go down there. Maybe they didn't. Maybe they got abandoned now. You're without a job, and you're still here. And the rules and regs in a city like New York, I mean, you can't even begin to believe how many people you have to go through if you simply want to have a new plumbing system put in, be it a home or a business. I noticed the other day, it's a fictional program, but I understand the story, the angle is right. This one businessman talks about from his high rise, he could see Central Park. He said, you know, you used to not be able to see Central Park. There was a 40-story building down there that was blocking my view. Well, what happened to it? Well, I bought it and demolished it so I could have my view because he had got the money to do it. Knocked it down, let them rebuild, but at a much lower level. And then there are things apparently in New York City we could buy airspace. You have a great view. You don't want anybody building from you. You can buy the airspace. I don't know what it costs. I've never bought any. But you got to pay big bucks. But then if somebody comes on, they want to build something that's going to obscure your, they got to buy your airspace so they can't get into it. So maybe your view won't be so bad, but your bank account should look better. This is the way they're running things. So no wonder they're bailing out. I want you to hear from another economist who's on Larry Kudlow along with Liz Peek. This is Steve Moore, Freedom Works economist.
This story of $1 trillion that has migrated out of California and New York is a whale of a story. And it's really the story of what's happened in America over the last 10 years is this massive migration of people and wealth and jobs too, Larry, out of those cities. Now, New York, you worked on Wall Street. You know, that's where you really made your name, Larry. One thing I could never understand about Wall Street is how is it that a city that is the financial capital of the world, why would they have the highest dividend tax, the highest capital gains tax, the highest corporate tax virtually in the country and virtually in the world? Mm. It would be like Idaho putting a special tax on potatoes. I mean, it's just none of this makes any sense. And so you see this migration that is hurting these states so terribly. You mentioned my home state of Illinois, which I love. I love Chicago. You know, Ken Griffin, who was the CEO of Citadel Capital, he moved out of Chicago and moved to Florida. And to Liz's point, it wasn't just the taxes, which are very high in Chicago. Liz, he said he moved out because he didn't think his workers were safe.
And how many are? We've already had that discussion. Companies are worried about their employees. Our employees decide not going to do it, not going to go there anymore. It's not safe. I had a local businessman, and I'm certainly not going to give enough information or details so you can identify. This was a St. Louis businessman. Business downtown. Downtown St. Louis. Whether or not you want to believe how bad it is or could be, his position was, we're looking to get out of downtown mainly because my workers won't come in to work. They don't want to. They're fearful. And if they are, we got to make sure we have plenty of guards around, full gated garages for them, and don't dare keep them late at night unless we're going to make sure they get escorted to their cars or they won't work. Now, what happened during COVID? We learned then because we have reached a wideband capability on an internet, many could do work at home. If we had not had the internet, we really would have been in a disaster. But a lot of folks can and still do work at home, or at least 2 to 3 days at home, and eventually they have to show in the office. Now, everybody knows if you're working home, you may be getting up, watching a little TV, get some coffee, goofing on board, but as long as you're getting the J-O-B done, does anyone care? Unless you're somebody who believes that, no, you got to be at that desk, I want your eyes on that computer and your fingers on the keyboard all the time. See, that's my attitude about firemen. Firemen work hard when they're needed. They're the ones willing to run into that burning building. So if I drive past the firehouse and they're just sitting outside in their chairs, I know they've already washed their equipment, gotten everything ready to go. Let them be. I just want them ready when the bell rings. I don't like busy work. I don't like assigning busy work. I don't want anyone else to have to deal with busy work just because you got a boss says, you're sitting idle, we're going to find something for you. But businesses are having to do what they can. If it means getting out of New York City and out of California, of course they're going to make that decision. When do you think New York City leaders and California leaders will wake up and say, well, welcome to nothing? Once back again to Liz Peek, the economic columnist, and it's the Blue City Blues.
I think part of the problem, Larry, is that the leaders of cities like San Francisco, New York, they're so smug, they're so entitled or something, they can't imagine anyone wants to live anywhere else. Here's the problem. Because of COVID, which really accelerated what was, to Steve's point, an existing trend, people know now that they can work remotely. They know they can live someplace else. They don't need to be on Wall Street. That is devastating. Because these businesses can just pick up and leave, and that's what they're doing.
And they are. And like I say, the internet contributed to that opportunity. So you can be thankful for that. And again, the Larry she's referring to is Larry Kudlow, not me. And I'll take it anyway. All right, now let's begin to turn our attention back to the debate and more on Hunter and Joe Biden.
I've never seen a person in elected office use their office like this to have 20 shell companies. You have a 9 people in the family getting paid after you take certain actions. I remember what has been allocated or accused here is you've got a whistleblower that the FBI still pays that believes heavily in way back years ago said that they are being bribed, the Biden family, but they never did anything with it, the FBI. You got IRS agents who's telling us they got treated differently, that the FBI actually warned Hunter Biden before they wanted to go meet with him. That here we have this Weiss, who is now the special counsel, literally let the statute of limitations run out on the most severe tax problems that the Biden family had, that they did you not disclose $400,000 and now get away with it without paying taxes? Nobody else in America was allowed to do that.
No, you weren't, were you? And now there's more evidence coming up of how tight all of this was. At least 7 prosecutors in the Delaware U.S. Attorney's Office apparently donated to Democrats during the Hunter Biden probe. While they're investigating Hunter Biden, they're giving money to Democrats. The top prosecutor, Weiss, was working with his equivalent at that time, and his former deputy counsel then to Vice President Joe Biden, Alexander Mackler, served as an assistant U.S. attorney for Delaware, how tight they could be, alongside assistant U.S. attorney Leslie Wolf. They were all giving money to the Biden campaigns or Democrat campaigns. Weiss spent years working with Hunter's late older brother, Beau Biden, who was in the Delaware Attorney General, remember? And during his tenure at the Office of U.S. Attorney for Delaware, Mackler and Hunter Biden were in communication, and Mackler emailed Hunter Biden in 2018, "Love you, brother." You got a prosecutor in Weiss's office until this year was also close to the Biden family. He worked at the Delaware U.S. Attorney's Office. Assistant U.S. Attorney Leslie Wolf is one of those identified by IRS whistleblowers as being told, you're not allowed to ask questions about who is the big guy. Everything on this says they were doing the Biden bidding and nothing more. We'll see how that plays out in the debate that's coming up in just a few minutes right here on News Talk STL. I hope you spend some time with it and hear what these candidates have to say. I know Donald Trump's not going to be there, but you know Trump is not going to say anything new or different. I think you need to hear these guys. I don't say you have to endorse them or buy into it, but if you don't know what they stand for, you're really not making an informed decision. if for no other reason, if something happens and for some reason, not because he's indicted or in jail, Trump is not running, you're going to have to understand what's next and what could be a good vice president for him. Yesterday, I ran a clip of Bill Maher talking about an interview he had Vivek Ramaswamy on. He said, well, you're very intelligent and everything. He said, you're also young and you have a nice color to your skin. You don't have the ruddish look of a red of Trump, and you don't have the ghostly look of Biden. Viewer said, we shouldn't judge him on appearances, judge by content. You're right. Remember our pledge, one nation under God.